Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in through Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. Those joining us on the radio dial in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad you all could tune in with us today. As well as those joining us on the East Coast in Atlanta at 106 Live, we're glad to have all of you with us as well. Best-selling author Lawrence Lamer is making his first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about his journey as an author, but also what he's been like to share with all of you. His newest book is actually my first to be able to read of his, but definitely will not be my last. It's called The President's Butler. We're going to talk to Lawrence not only about the book, but what it's been like for him to craft these characters that are all too real, I think, but would definitely make us laugh and maybe even think a little bit more about where we are today. And if you're just hearing about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Lawrence, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is definitely all mine. As I said, this is my first book, actually, to read of yours. But what was so interesting for me, and we can kind of begin the conversation here, Lawrence, I think that, you know, these days when things seem so dark, I think we all need to be able to have something that makes us laugh, but also think a little bit as well. What has it been like for you to be able to get that response already from the new book?
Well, that's what I was thinking about. I mean, I was Easter Sunday. I was invited to the Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach, Florida, for this fancy $100 person buffet. Okay, oh, that's the place to be Sunday evening in Palm Beach. Okay, all these ultra wealthy. You wouldn't believe the cars that were outside there. Anyway, so it's this $100 a person, but it's still like I grew up in upstate New York. We go to Uncle O's Chinese buffet. And you wanted to get there early and get the shrimp before it was gone, okay? So you ran out to get it. Well, it was like that this evening. Everybody's running out to get the crab legs and everything like that. And I run out to get a steak. And I'm watching. I'm outside with the guys grilling the steak, and I'm watching my steak being grilled. And I look to my right, and there's Donald Trump standing there. And he is having a hamburger. Now, nobody for $100 has a hamburger. He's the only one in the place to have a hamburger. He has it charred. He has it cooked so it's practically burned. And then he stands there and he meticulously puts about a half an inch of ketchup in one of these bottles of spout. He just round around and got half an inch of ketchup on it and goes away. And I thought, my gosh, there's a satirical novel in this. And I sat down the next morning and started to write a novel about a Trump-like character. I know Trump, and I knew Trump's butler, so I told it through the eyes of the butler.
Right. And you know, and that is what is so interesting. And again, you know, for those who are just hearing about the book, what we're able to do is we're able to get a very up-close and personal view of this individual named Vincent Victor, who becomes, of course, the president. And we're able to be able to get this view through someone who knows him quite well, as the title alludes to, Billy Baxter, the president's butler. You know, I think, you know, what is so interesting, and I think we kind of see it in a lot of different ways, Lawrence, and what's going on today is that, of course, the people who are around these individuals the most, of course, they get to see everything, you know, not what we end up being able to hear about or to get a glimpse of. Is that kind of how Billy came about, being able to give us a real view of who Vincent was?
Yeah, and plus he's a working-class guy. He grows up poor. His mother has a little grocery store in upstate New York, and, you know, he gets his chance to go to this rich person's incredible mansion and become a footman and be a servant, and he rises to become a butler, and Vincent Victor comes in his jet helicopter and buys the incredible steak, and he becomes the Vincent Victor's butler. So we see it from his perspective. It's not my perspective. It's his perspective.
Right. And I think that is the thing. And I think, you know, it really shows the fatigue level. That's kind of what drew me into the book from the very beginning. Because as many people are looking at this election cycle, Lawrence, as being exhausting, you can only imagine about the people who work for these individuals. As to what they are dealing with as well. I mean, you mentioned, of course, how, you know, the seed was planted for you at this event. I mean, you know, people, though, I mean, as we have seen, especially because of social media and the internet in general, are not always the nicest. Did you have any hesitation, though, of actually releasing a book like this during a presidential cycle like this?
No. In fact, when I In fact, I thought that's when it had to be released. I thought that's when people would find it amusing. People laugh out loud at some of this stuff. And because it's just so dark a political season. It's just, I can't stand it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that is the thing. And is that also why you chose to be able to, through the Butler, be able to give us not only a view that we could relate to, I mean, from the very beginning of the book, telling us about how he grew up and being able to allow us to see what he was able to deal with. Is that one of the reasons why you wanted it to be told from a person like us that we could relate to?
Exactly, exactly.
And I think that's what people will definitely take away from the book. I want to go back a little bit because the book already before it was released in September, Lawrence, was already getting amazing reviews. What has surprised you the most about what people are taking away? Because as you said, you know, it is satirical. It is, of course, meant to be funny. But also, it's kind of thoughtful as well, I felt like, because, again, unfortunately, these days, nothing seems impossible, right? I mean, everything seems like it can happen. I mean, what has surprised you the most about the response you've gotten?
Well, no, I mean, people enjoy it and think it's very funny, but it is serious. And you know what? Trump is such an exaggerated character that he's almost like that I couldn't – I sort of drew back a little. I mean, my character is a little bit more realistic in some ways than Donald
right.
Trump. I mean, who could invent what Donald Trump – what has happened the last week? Nobody can invent that.
Right. For sure, for sure. Now, you have been known, as I said, you're a best-selling author, Lawrence. I mean, people know you for other amazing books. It was interesting, you know, as I said, this was my first book to read of yours, but I had people, when I first announced you were coming on the program, you know, told me about other books, and I was like, I didn't know he wrote that. I mean, did you find this, even as you say people need a break, of course, from this political cycle, did you see this book also as a break for you as from what you've been known for in the past?
Well, I just wrote a very serious book called The Lynching, which, in fact, I'm giving a talk Wednesday at the University of Alabama. I'm giving a major lecture there about that book, and that's about the 1981 lynching of Michael Donald in Mobile, Alabama, and what happened with that. So that's I spent a lot of time in Alabama. So this is an opportunity to do something totally different, writing this novel.
Sure, sure. For sure. And I think that is so true. And again, it really goes to the audiences you've been able to reach. I want to talk more about that, Lawrence. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side in our home state of Mississippi or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're real excited to welcome to our program today, Lawrence Lamer. We're talking with Lawrence not only about his journey to writing what is a great book for you to add to your reading list. It's called The President's Butler. We'll remind you a little bit later you can get the Kindle version for only $5. But also, you know, what it's been like for him already to see the response. Let's talk about writing overall for a moment, Lawrence, because it's your first time on our program. When did you first realize that you had a gift of being able to not only to pull a story together, but also to be able to share the experiences of others? From what I've been able to hear, you know, in your previous work, you were able to do it in the nonfiction, and even in this book, we're able to see you kind of bring Billy to life. When did you first realize that gift that you had?
I don't know. I mean, when I graduated from college, I went into the Peace Corps in Nepal. And I got a fellowship for the University of Oregon, and I hated it. I was bored to death. And I took a magazine writing class, okay, just to amuse myself. And I talked my way onto George Wallace's plane. This is in November 1967, a heck of a long time ago. I spent 5 days with George Wallace. I wrote an article that was published, and that's what was so exciting to me. And so I went to Columbia School of Journalism, and then I did all kinds of things. I worked in a coal mine, wrote about that. I covered the war in Bangladesh. And then I started writing books. And, you know, it was very hard to make a living at the beginning, but it just kept on, you know, working, writing books until finally I had some bestsellers and was successful at it.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, the great thing is in that, you know, that tenacity that it takes to be able to keep going, Lawrence, especially as the industry has changed, I think says a whole lot. I mean, I think, you know, again, going back to, you know, the President's Butler and even your nonfiction work, I think a great parallel would be the fact that, again, you've been able to really bring us in. You're able to do it with the nonfiction. You're able to do it with a book like this. I think, you know, for a book like this, though, with the President's Butler, because the thing that I kept thinking about, too, that personalized did in a sense for me, Lawrence, was that it is told in first person. Was that something that was obvious for you in the very beginning that you would have to make this book even more interesting, to tell it in Billy's voice?
Yeah, I thought it was better because I thought I didn't want to have this omnipotent narrators trying to, you know, criticize or whatever. No, I wanted to do it to this butler who comes in and really likes this guy he's working for, but then, you know, then begins to see him in a different way. So that's, you know, and he's a really good observer.
Right. And to that point, this is the other thing that gets me that I think a lot of us do not like to admit, but I think the president's butler does this, and I think if we're really honest, we do it too. I mentioned earlier about giving a different view of an individual than what we see. I think what Billy's character also does, and I'll have you talk about this, Lawrence, is that it humanizes Victor in a sense. It gives us an idea of who this individual is outside of the persona. Would you agree that was kind of part of what made his account so powerful?
Yeah, right, and the interesting thing is that there are people that that like Donald Trump, okay? They like his character. People that don't like him can't stand him. I mean, that's a matter of how polarized we are and how kind of fair the portrait is, I suppose.
Right. And I think that is the thing. And I think, again, that's why a book like this can be great. I mean, as you said, for one thing, to kind of lighten things up a bit. But also, of course, to get us to remember that really we all do this. We all, you know, kind of, you know, we have people that we support. We have people that we admire, that we like, that we would go to bat for, that others may not see the same thing in them that we do. And, you know, I think that's the other thing about this, too, is that it reminds us, you know, for one thing, you know, it's one thing to like someone. It's another thing to have such vitriol, I think, for someone. I mean, was that also part of the balancing act for you, Lawrence, in this book to show that, you know, whether you agreed with the character that you present or with someone who's real, you know, who's an actual individual, that you can disagree with someone without going to the extreme?
Yeah, and I think that's what's happened in this election. We're at the extremes now to the whole nature of American democracy is in trouble. We've got to back off from this on both sides. It's just too much.
Yeah, and I think that is the thing. I want to go to something that Billy was told in the book. I want to actually read it. And the character, Mr. Wells, who is speaking to Billy, Lawrence, says this to him, and this really made me think a lot, because I think a lot of us, I remember being told this when I was growing up here in Mississippi by my grandmother. This is the line. The point is, Billy, Mrs. Helm is giving you an extraordinary opportunity here. If you work hard and do things right, there's no end to what you can be. But if you don't do your job, you'll be gone faster than I can swat a fly. I mean, maybe not the latter part. I wasn't told that part. But, I mean, I was told about the importance of working hard, you know, and doing your best and realizing that could propel you forward. What was it like for you, you know, as you were writing the character of Billy, to not only to be, you know, to have him told that, Lawrence, but also to think about what that meant for you and how that has helped you in life?
Well, for Billy, okay, what does that mean? The ultimate for him is to be a butler, okay? I mean, I wouldn't want that to be the ultimate in my life, but he doesn't feel any, that's great. He's so proud to be a butler. That's the best. I mean, you know, we're all told when we're kids we can become president of the United States, we can do this and that, but somehow we know that we really can't do that. It's not for us. Now, I've written extensively on the Kennedys, and the Kennedys were told that they were kids, and their father really meant that, okay? They could do whatever they wanted to do. I mean, it's, you know, it's still not easy. We know that. We've got this inequality, but that's the great thing of America is its freedom.
Right. And I think that is the thing. And I think, too, you know, I would say this. Anyone who reads The President's Butler and even looks at the world events, do you think it makes those words, though, even more probable? Because there are so many people who said that, for one thing, if you're talking about what's happening here in 2016 in this country, that this could have never happened. There are some people who laughed this off a year or so ago, said nothing like this could ever happen. Even, you know, in the last, you know, presidential race, you know, when there was hints of, you know, would Donald Trump really run, would he not run?
Right, right.
I mean, there were some who said, you know, surely this would never happen. And yet here we are. 2016. I mean, do you think that does say a lot, as you said earlier, not only about society, but also what people are willing to do when they do feel as though there's not much hope or much other choices?
Well, that's where he comes from. It's the same, and I've written extensively about George Wallace. Back in 1967, when I followed him around for the first time, the Northern reporters were saying he's just a racist, that's all it is. But it was the white working class that was coming to these big events, and they saw something else in George Wallace. They felt that they, you know, their middle class jobs were gone, the factory workers' jobs. You could have a middle class life and work in a factory. And that's, and all, so much of this is gone, and people feel threatened, and they feel that the inequality of American life, and that's why Trump is able to, you know, have millions of supporters.
Right. I think that is it. Now, of course, we live in a world where, you know, as the candidates are using social media is one of the ways that, you know, we communicate with each other. You also are on social media sites like Twitter, where they can find you, Ed Lamer. We'll remind people of that a little bit later. What has that been like for you to kind of to navigate that terrain, Lawrence, and to not only, of course, to talk about your work, but also just to be a part of the conversations that are taking place?
Well, okay, to tell the truth, I'm ambivalent about it because I don't like to be self-promotional, okay? And so many of these things on Facebook, it's just people trying to sell something. They pretend I go on there. To me, it's like it's a way to talk to friends more than anything else. If you say, no, you got to use it, you got to endlessly, you got to promote yourself. And I think there's got to, and Facebook is such a wonderful device, I think, to just communicate with people. You know, I don't think it should be. I don't think it's. You should be used too much. Yeah, once in a while you got to say, this book coming, I've got this and that. But I just love the things I learn on there from people.
Right, right. And, you know, so we have to talk about the idea. And one of the things I have definitely changed my perception of, Lawrence, and I'm curious as to your thoughts because of all that you've accomplished. You know, and that is my idea of what success is. I think, you know, I have really now, especially in conversations like this, I've thought about it in books that I've read and conversations I've had with other people, too. I mean, have you found as though throughout this journey, you know, considering what people would look at as a very successful career that you've been able to have as an author, has your idea of what success for yourself is changed?
Well, first of all, look, when we look at other people, we see their successes. We don't see their failures. We know inside ourselves all the failures we've had. We know all we've gone through. We know our weaknesses. So you think, why don't I have that guy's life? Well, one thing I've learned in doing writing is not to be jealous of anybody. No matter who they are, no matter how much money they are, no matter, they've got the same troubles and difficulties and struggles that you and I have.
Right, right. Have you found that the response to this book has been pretty universal, or have you felt as though, as many people look at the world as being so divided partisan in a partisan way, that it's kind of broken down that way as well?
No, I think most people, there are a few people that don't like it, but that's the way, everything, you go in and look for a restaurant review or a hotel, you know, 80% of the people give it 5 stars. They think it's terrific. And somebody on there saying, this is the worst place I've ever seen in my life. That's just the way it is, right? The people probably think Shakespeare is terrible.
Right. And so then I guess a great follow-up to that question, Lawrence, would be, because there are some people who are listening to this conversation that maybe they think, as many people are told, they have a book inside themselves. I mean, how do you not allow that to affect you? Or does it?
That people have books inside of them? Well,
right.
I think that's great. I think if people, you know, this self-publishing thing now is very, very inexpensive. If people have a family history or some tale they want to do it, I think they reach a certain age. If you're not, you know, I just got a phone call from some guy, an old friend of mine. He's got to be 90 years old. He's sending me his book. I mean, it's a very positive thing to do. So I say if people want to do it, do it.
Right. I think that is so true. And I think, too, it even goes to show, too, just like with Billy in the book, that all of us have a story. That's one thing that I also think about this, because a lot of times you would not think, and, of course, we don't hear a lot about individuals like this who are, of course, working at the White House or working with individuals like this writing books until long after. So to have a book like this is interesting, you know, even it being satirical in that we all want to know. We want to know what is happening behind what we see. And I think for someone like Billy to be able to give us that. I also like the other thing I want to mention, and then I will remind our audience how they can get the book. Lawrence, I want to talk about his moral compass. because there was one part of the book early on as well. We get a very clear idea that even though people say things around Billy, he has no problem making it known how he feels about things. And I mean, what was that like for you to kind of give to him? Because not everybody's like that. There's some people who become complicit by their, you know, inaction or by the way they respond. You know, tell to us about the evolution of that part of his character.
Well, I wanted to have him as a positive character. I don't know how you read a book, but I like to find some positive character in the book I can relate to. And Billy is the observer that we come to trust. We kind of trust what he feels and sees. So that's why that it was like that.
Yeah. And I think that is the thing for sure. One of the great lines of the book as well, you know, is one that I think people will relate to. Life is a matter of exchanges, both understood and only half surmised. And I think, you know, that is the thing, too, that many people are thinking about as this year is wrapping up and as this election season is wrapping up, Lawrence, for sure. And so I think people, if they're looking for a great break, The President's Butler is a great way to be able to get that. It is available through our friends at Amazon.com, so we definitely invite you all to head over there and get it for yourself. You can get it in print, or as I mentioned earlier, you can get the Kindle edition for only $4.99, so you can go over there, all of you one-clickers, and go ahead and get it for yourself there. Lawrence, you know, you mentioned you have the nonfiction book as well. You're doing engagements for that. So how can our audience stay connected with you? Where's the best place for them to find you?
I guess on Facebook. I talk a lot on Facebook and do things, and you know, I've got a website, but I don't go in there as often as I should, you know, because I want to write my book. So how many off times can I go in there? That's just the way it is.
Right, right. So make sure you are staying connected again with Lawrence Lamer. Again, of the book we've been discussing here, as the one that I read, is The President's Butler. But as he mentions, he also is promoting his book, The Lynching, the epic courtroom battle that brought down the Klan. So make sure you can get that one through our friends at Amazon.com as well. Looking forward to reading that book as well with my having the Southern connection. Lawrence, definitely, I was fascinated when I first saw that when I was prepping for your segment, so I definitely will add that to my reading list. And I hope you'll come back on the program again. Would love to have you back.
That was definitely good. It was great fun.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Again, everyone, Lawrence Lamer has been our guest, and I didn't say it before the segment began, but I'll tell you guys, Lawrence is actually our 600th guest this year. This year, for 2016, our 600th guest. It's been an amazing year for us here, both on the radio dial and online. So we definitely appreciate all of the great guests we've been able to have. It's hard to believe. Of course, as you guys know, I'm on 3 hours a day during the week. So he's actually my first guest of the day. I'll be having more guests on later on this day. So make sure you all are staying connected with us online, but we'll definitely invite you to get The President's Butler for your book. It's a great book. I definitely recommend it. Again, you can get it through our friends at Amazon.com. If you came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Lawrence, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites, and I've tagged Lawrence on Facebook and Twitter already. So you can go to our page at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.